Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening. It is 6 o'clock in, in the Eastern Zone. Welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. And tonight with me is my co-host, Wayne Johnson. And we're sending out all our good vibes to our other co-host, Jack Jodell, who will soon be back with us. And our guest host and awesome guest, the progressive professor, Ronald Feynman, author and presidential you're an authoritarian.
Awesome, not authoritarian. That's Trump.
The blender's on all coal thrusters today. I did call this one the Trumpoloid because I, like many people, have wondered whether or not the SOB really did get COVID. But it's not impossible that he would, and he does have the best health care of anybody on the planet, practically.
Right.
But his face looked pretty haggard the last few months. Now it's all puffed up. So the guy is on
steroids.
He's on the roids, babe. He's on the roids big time. I don't know if I believe that his wife and son had it. I don't believe a goddamn word out of that White House, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
And now even his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, said his comments about Governor Whitmer was just joking. Can you believe that?
And how does anyone get away with saying such a thing that the FBI isn't there right away? I don't give a fuck whose office you're sitting in. Ooh, did I say F? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's right.
We're off to a rolling start today.
Yeah, that's right.
What he said about go ahead, Ron. You read the download.
Yeah, well, Gretchen Whitmer, of course, had a death threat against her, and this whole group, about 13 people, was arrested. They were planning to kidnap her and possibly kill her and cause bloodshed generally. And his comment was to make it like it was no big deal, but he said we should lock her up, and he should lock up the Bidens, not just even Joe, but his family, lock up the Clintons, lock up Obama. I mean, this is insanity that he gets away with that, you know?
Well, this is the tactic he pulled. And, of course, well, here, I'm going to back up here. The Biden, the latest Biden, you know, we have evidence. We just happened to find Biden's laptop, and there's suspicious stuff on it. This is the Hillary Clinton email thing going by. And then this chant of lock her up, being the governor, right? They're using the exact same thing, playbook they did in 2016. It's all bullshit. Hillary Clinton's not in jail. There was no charges or any wrongdoing done by Hillary, but he planted it enough disinformation and questioning doubtful mind back in 2016 that it cost Hillary Clinton the vote. And it was just enough for him to win.
Okay, so here is the reality that's happening at the moment, 2 weeks before Election Day. The Democrats are voting in droves. In Texas, South Carolina, even here in Florida, and in one other state, Georgia, they are just banging, and other places in the country, and people are voting early, and they're standing in line for as long as 11 hours to get the job done. And from me to America, good job, people.
Those people are the heroes right now at this moment.
Right.
Those that will stand in line and say, screw it, I am casting my vote.
This is democracy in action, the best example possible. Democracy in action.
Exactly.
You're right.
Very good statement, Professor.
And then Nancy Pelosi has issued a statement to the White House that it has until Tuesday to reach a release deal before the election. That's just putting the paperwork through. They have until Tuesday to get that done before the election. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are going to look at that and say, what? Well, you know, people could really be in trouble between November and January 21st. If those freaking, just to be nasty, those freaking Republicans don't get something done because they get voted out of office.
I just saw a statistic saying, or a report saying, that over 10 million people have lost their jobs here in the last couple months that will not be coming back.
No.
Yes, I've seen that,
It's gone. It is gone. It's not coming back. So that's 10 million more people that are going to need some sort of help, either that or they're going to lose their car. They're going to be evicted out of their house, or because of non-payment to the banks, they're not being able to pay the rent.
Maybe they won't be able to pay the car payment, and they won't even have the car, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
No, there's going to have to be a stop down. There's going to have to be moratoriums. There's going to have to be moratoriums on rent, mortgages. There's going to have to be moratoriums on anybody getting their car repoed. There is going to have to be a national lockdown. And I got a damn good feeling that the retailers, the bankers, and even the landholders are going to see the prudence of going, well, if the government won't do it, we will. Because they've got to see the boulder coming downhill. They've got to see it.
Trump vindictiveness, and those who, like the senators that might lose, like Lindsey Graham, because of Trump and all this, there'll be a vindictive aspect of the Republicans that they'll say, fine, you elected the Democrats, you wait until November the 21st when the Democrats come in. We ain't going to do a damn thing. So now we're talking about 3 more months.
Yeah, but
before
I got
something like that could even be passed through governmental aspects.
I got a sneaking suspicion, though, that something's going to be done, including they might yank Trump out of office if nothing's done, and they might sidestep the Senate in some way. What they might do is retrofit a bill with the electives. Something will have to be done because this is beyond. And you know, Mitt Romney sitting on his ass through all of this. He spoke up a few times, but for the most part, he's sitting with these mothers. Let him go downhill.
Too little, too late. I'm not impressed with him. I don't care.
You know, students are filing lawsuits by the thousand for refunds because of COVID-19 right now in universities. So
that's destroyed the university budget. My gosh, you know.
Well,
exactly.
And not only that, but the stupid, these were stupid people who opened these schools up. Any student, any school, any grade, preschool, it was insanity, and it's insanity still to not be doing this by remote. Or to just say, until COVID's over, school's out. That it's insane, and I understand that because they haven't passed the stimulus, we have parents sending. How many schools in Palm Beach County, Ron, now have been closed because of parents sending asymptomatic children into class and spreading it?
I don't know the exact number, but it's a lot. And same with Broward County.
You know how many children are walking around with COVID right now in those counties? Children, lay the bodies that pile up in the laps of these Republicans. I'm so goddamn mad at them, I couldn't even spit for them. I mean,
matter of fact,
horrifying.
There was a dean of a college up in New York. I can't remember the name, but basically he resigned because he had all of his college students coming back to class, and I forget what. Basically, I think 2/3 of the kids, the college students, came down with COVID, and he was so distraught that he had made this mandate, this ruling, that he resigned.
Yeah, that isn't uncommon right now. And, you know, it's not just this country that is facing some very critical edges either. I mean, thousands of people are in the streets all over the world right now, whether for good or for bad or ugly. They're in the it's just it, It's just incredible, all the crisis that is going on. And it is Mother coming home, you know? Santa Muerta, Santa Muerta has arrived.
Great.
Her name is COVID.
Great.
You know?
Well, the thing is what we're experiencing now, they figure within the next, again, next 3-4 months, that once again, this virus is going, globally, is going to double again. There's going to be double the outbreak that we have. So
we,
it's not getting better.
Coming.
It's not getting cured.
We saw this coming. The what it is, too, and now they've released this document from the White House that is calling for herd immunity. Well, you can't get herd immunity until you have a vaccine for first place. Second place, I don't think there's any such thing with this particular strain of virus and the way it operates in the human body. Whose microphone is moving around so much?
Yeah, look, the black plague, the first time it came through, wiped out in southern Europe, like two-thirds of the population in the Mediterranean area, southern Europe. There wasn't any herd immunity to it. The only thing was everybody died, and what was left was those out who hadn't been exposed or it didn't affect them, or, you know, where they didn't catch it. And they were outside the cities where the fleas were, the rats and the fleas.
Well, you know, it's really crazy. Ask Sweden what herd immunity did for them, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, you'd think the Swedes would have it more together than that. The Swiss would have it more together than that. But really, it's just the herd immunity thing from the White House. Who the hell is in charge over there? Really? Who the hell is in charge? Because it is just one shit show after another going on over there. Anybody associative in the next 10 years that has been associative with this Trump incredible that for the last 5 years, and I'm including the year the election, anybody associated will be, you know, poor Dr. Mudd. He really didn't do it, but his name was Mudd. You know what I'm saying? Their name is Mudd. I wouldn't pay you 10 cents to go listen to anybody who was involved in all that crap talk. I mean, they pay Nixon. They pay ex-Nixon advisors, don't they? But they don't make the big bucks.
Great.
You know? I guess Cheney does, but Cheney can't leave this country, and neither can George W. Bush do the speaking tours.
Right. Well, I'll give you the example, and I wrote about it years ago. Donald Rumsfeld was supposed to be given some kind of an honor in France, and as soon as the French police force, Interpol, found out that he was there, Rumsfeld was there, they had to serve the warrant from The Hague for war crimes that was committed in bringing the war to Iraq, and that second time under W. and Dick Cheney. When they found out, the embassy got him, put him in the back of a Mercedes, put blankets over him, drove him to a military base in Germany and flew his ass out of there right away because he was going to be arrested and stand for war crimes. That's I wrote about that months ago. Yeah, well, years ago when doing it. Well, then the 2005, 2006, 2007 time frame, 2006, 2007 right now. So.
Yeah. No.
But Dick Cheney has those exact same criminal war. Warrants for his arrest, too.
Yeah.
Right.
They,
so that's why he cannot leave. If he leaves, he's arrested.
They can be taken to The Hague. And let us hope that Trump would enter into that. But here's my thing. People are saying that another headline that's come out. Ron, have you read that they're basically Trump is letting it slip out that if he loses the election, he's leaving the country.
Yeah, and I don't know whether you noticed that. I wrote an article on The Progressive Professor about that and also wrote on Facebook. And this was yesterday, and I said, Donald Trump suggests he might leave America if he loses. Prevent that by seizing his passport.
Well, yeah. The thing is, the only place he should be taking a trip to is Leavenworth. For the rest of his death.
What I'm saying is he needs to be forced to remain in the United States with his family, and so they can't escape. The passports have to be seized when he loses. And they all need to face trial, including his children and his, I don't know about his wife necessarily, but his children, certainly. You know, not Barron, of course. I'm talking about the ones who we know have been evil, you know. So, I think all Trump collaborators in and out of the cabinet, you know, people in the cabinet who have been involved, and Rudy Giuliani also needs to be accountable. He's unbelievable. Well, now he's spreading this idea that Joe Biden's son Hunter, well, he and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, is now claiming that Hunter Biden had child porn on that computer. And first of all, I don't believe it, but secondly, what does that have to do with Joe Biden, even if it's so? But they wanted to smear Joe Biden's only living son. And this Ron Johnson, who defeated Russ Feingold twice, he's such a monster. He's like the new Joseph McCarthy in a different kind of a vein, you know, from Wisconsin. It's disgraceful.
Well, I also want Miller to stand trial for separating children from their parents and locking them in cages. This is no different than a Nazi internment camp, via Auschwitz or, you know, any of the others like that. I want him to stand trial for crimes to humanity.
Well,
but it won't happen here in this country.
What basically has to happen is that, and Harris would be good at setting this up, they should be right now strategizing how they're going to indict these bastards the minute they, I'm talking Bill Barr, all of these bastards who have worked.
All those have been complicit
this whole four years. Yeah, and they need to rearrest Mike Flynn. And they need to put Roger Stone behind bars. They need to get all of these bastards and put them away. And if he doesn't get it done, he's like, I'm not going to do it. My DOJ will do that. You know, well, whoever's put into, because I don't think this country is going to put up with what Obama pulled by not holding Bush Cheney's feet to the fire. I don't really think the country will put up with it. But I don't think Biden will make it a year as president. I think we're looking at a President Harris. So,
when you say not a year, what do you mean? You mean he's going to die in the first year?
I think it's possible. I think he could. Yeah. He could be too ill, to serve.
Yeah, I'm more optimistic. Nobody knows the future. But I honestly think he'll do a whole term, assuming, and because I can't guarantee he'll live, and that he will, in the third year, announce in July of 2023 that he's not going to run again and give Harris, not become president, but, you know, at least start the race, because you have to give people time. I think he'll realize one term's enough, but I don't know if he'll leave or resign. Of course, if he dies, that's something else. But
That's pre-COVID thinking, and I think that this thing is going to get nastier. It's not getting any better. It's sneaky, and it's getting worse.
Are you talking about the virus itself?
Yes, the actual virus is getting worse.
You're correct.
And I don't
like
mean
I said.
Just by getting to people. It's actually mutating worse. And
people
already have had it a second time, I've read. There's been people who have been reinfected.
Yes, you can get it again. And children are dying from this, by the way. Children are dying from this. And also a couple of college students
were playing football, 20-year-olds, a white guy and a black guy. They both died of it. Yeah.
There was an elementary school girl who was forced to go to school.
This is hundreds of thousands. I mean, it isn't all old people who have died from this. It's what bugs me about the media.
We're talking about children now.
We are talking about, and we have been for months, and it's just incredible to me that people are not, you cannot think the same way you did. That's what I'm trying to say to Ron, thinking he'll make it out as a gentle old man into, you know, the end of his term. Well, basically, that's pre-COVID thinking, and it's not working now. My mother had a saying, some people are too, I'll use the Irish expression, feckin', mean to die, and Donald Trump has certainly proved that adage right. I do think he's got COVID. It just basically, it depends on your genetic makeup, but who knows what it'll do to his system. And so many people who have survived, okay, recovered, they've survived it, but have they recovered? No, more than 50% of the people who've contracted COVID have lifelong challenges now.
Which is another big healthcare issue, right as we have Amy Coney Barrett coming up for confirmation. And it really annoys me that Ben Sasse, I'm not saying I liked him, but I guess among Republicans I thought he's intelligent, he has a PhD in history, he taught in college like I have, and I thought he was a decent guy, but he's never spoken up. Now suddenly, as the race is coming on, you know, and he's coming and he's worried about a bloodbath, he speaks out against him because I guess he thinks he's safe, and I hope he's not. But he and Mitt Romney, if only them, I'm not saying they're good, but compared to most of the people in the Senate, they're, quote, slightly better, in quotes, if you know what I mean. If those two would join Collins and Murkowski, they could stop Barrett from being confirmed. But they're not going to do it, apparently.
Well, Collins is ruined. She's losing badly.
There's rumors that she's being pressured to vote for Barrett, and no, she said she wouldn't. And, of course, Murkowski seems safe. And I'm thinking, what about those three Republican senators retiring? Lamar Alexander, who we used to think was all right, and also Mike Enzi, and also Pat Roberts. If they would just say, I'm leaving now, and I'm going to leave this appointment to the next president because I'm leaving, I'm not going to suffer. Why couldn't they vote no? I don't know.
You mean they're not?
Well, I'm talking about they're all going to vote yes, apparently, for Barrett. But if those three retiring Republicans alone would join Murkowski, Barrett would not be confirmed. And why can't they do it as a last act, especially Lamar Alexander? But I don't understand how these people think, because they're not suffering anything. They're leaving. They're retiring.
Well, from what I heard from Biden the other night on his town hall, by saying, I'm not saying anything, I'm watching what's going on there, I am not going to give you a yes or no on this. What I got from him was, yeah, they put her on the court, and the Democrats will definitely enlarge the Supreme Court. They have to. There's no question about it. You know, or watch America burn. Watch it. America's burning right now. We have never faced anything like this since the Civil War, and this is getting to be worse.
Statement. I agree with that very much. So it's very evident.
The thing that worries me about Barrett is she's such a, quote, religious person to such an extreme that it's like a theocracy she seems to want, and that's just not acceptable.
She has no business sitting in front of that Senate right now. She should have recused herself because of her beliefs and value system that go contrary to even the Constitution of this country, and especially against women. She belongs to a group of people that think we should be the chattel of our husbands and that all our holdings should be in their name.
That's absolutely unbelievable that somebody who's at least supposedly intelligent and a judge and a professor would allow herself to be that way. It's amazing.
No, you know what? This is women patriarchs. They think they're above it. They think they are above it. They think they are above it. This does not concern me. It concerns all these women I don't want to have to compete with. That is what that is, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Dead stop. She has no business sitting in front of the Senate. And the answers she has given are completely unacceptable. What the hell does she think she's being questioned about and why? She needs to answer those questions, whether they are relevant to the moment or not. That is absolutely against Eger. And these friggin' Republicans are allowing her to get away with this. Incredibly so. We don't have a democracy at this moment. Don't kid yourself. We have no democracy. The only blade that we're going to be able to slip in right now is voting and hoping that the vote.
Yeah, I heard, though. I read somewhere that some state, someone was voting for Biden, and she saw it clicked and said Trump, and she reads it again, and it said Trump again, and that she pointed it out to, you know, to the supervisors. So there may
right,
be
right,
some
right.
of that going on, too. Who knows?
Yeah, this is,
well, that's
this
what
is,
I'm saying. It's, these machines have been set up to also flip votes. This computerized voting has been the biggest atrocity to our true democracy election.
I'm all for it.
Started with Dybul.
I am all for computer voting. You register my IP address and I'll vote from my home. Everybody should be able to. The trouble with it is, first of all, one of the things Obama wanted to get done and couldn't get passed and should be done is everybody in this country should have access to internet at an easy way. Everybody should have access to the internet.
And there's still a lot of students who come from poor families who, even now with schools closed, they don't have an internet connection on a regular basis.
Professor?
No.
The county that I left, where my farm was, there were kids who were going to my daughter's high school, North Dorchester, who did not even have telephones. For the school to get a hold of them, they had to call like their aunt, who had a phone.
What?
Then the aunt
God.
Would go down to where the kid was and his parents and pass on the message.
Well, I haven't had
a landline. That's unbelievable.
Wait a minute. I haven't had a landline. I have not had a landline. I've got a number that says landline, mm-hmm. but it actually goes to my cell. It's
right.
my business number because I've had it for so many years, but I have not had a landline in 17 years.
Yeah, no,
I still use my landline. I'm on the landline now.
No, what I'm talking about, these people have no form of a phone at all, period.
That's incredible.
They are the black poor who have been like the descendants of the migrant workers.
Well, that's a rare community because even in the most urban, the most trodden down parts of the city, people have cell phones. They do.
Well,
and with
I'm talking
the elderly,
about the county that,
the elderly,
yeah, I'm talking about the county that
before,
Harry Tubman escaped from to start the Underground Railroad. They are that far backwards.
Well, the elderly have anybody, well, elderly, when you hit, I think it's 62, but definitely when you hit 65 in this country, the government offers you a free, with so many minutes, cell phone. You know, it's not the best in the world, but it does work. I know four people who have them, including my roommate. And he gets on the internet with his. They provide smartphones now, not just flip phones. They provide them with smartphones so that they get the alerts. Because they don't call your house when there's an Amber Alert, honey. It comes over the TV, and the TV now is all Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, anybody using rabbit ears? Anybody?
Yeah, I kind of am for my local.
Yeah, I wanted to point out, by the way,
I wrote an article this week
on my progressiveprofessor.com about the fact that if she gets approved, Barrett, we will have a court with five members appointed by presidents who lost the popular vote, two by Bush and three by Trump. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Not voted in by popular, of course. I know they say the Electoral College is what decides it, but the point is Bush lost by 540,000 and Trump by 2.85 million, and yet we had Roberts and Alito appointed, and then Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and now Barrett. And, of course, add to that group of five all Republicans, and who is the sixth one? Clarence Thomas, who, of course, has sexual harassment abuse in his background, as does Kavanaugh. So what a winning group this group is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're right.
No, they have to appoint at least four more seats to the Supreme Court. They have to.
Right.
They
the only disadvantage
like that.
Of that is in the future, if the Republicans come in, they could add more seats and go back and forth. They will have even more than 13. That's the only thing I'm worried about. That'll keep on, you know, upping the other party when each one gains control. That's the only
And that eventually becomes a cabal. Yeah. Well, they've been a cabal ever since they started, first of all.
That's true.
And you know what? What's good for the goose? And with any amount of, it's true. I do see things a little bit differently. Ron pointed it out very well when he said that, you know, well, you can't know the future. Well, in my part of town, we basically do make a living at some of that stuff from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this. I will say this. I have been, along with my spiritual family, my peeps from down here and up north, we have been taking from ground up again astrology classes, because that's where all the only real information is coming from. But we are in some you haven't seen astrological alignments since some of the most world cracking events that are happening now have happened in the past, where the planets aligned in such a fashion. And it seems like there's a real tailspin on this one. But the point is that we are at the edge of human extinction. We are the edge of it. You think it's, say, you know, oh, we've still got a few more years and something will happen. No, nothing. Tell me why COVID's here. I personally think it came out of the permafrost, but I also think it's guided. I think that this is what has to happen to bring us to the point of, you know, wake up or lay down. And it's getting worse as it goes along. I don't mean to bring it too far into the booga booga area at all. But here's the thing, that what Ron said was actually very pre-COVID thinking. And we can no longer think that way. We have to think on the edge of destruction. We have to think, what do we do next in the next moment to make things change? And basically, I do not think that, you know, a DNC machinist, like, and don't get me wrong, I think that Joe Biden is a nice man. I think he's sincerely an empathetic fellow. But he's a big old cog and an old broken machine that has brought us to the edge of where we are. Because it's not just Republicans who have put us here. It's Democrats, too, and their old way of thinking of go along to get along. You know, if anything is clear, talk about extending Obamacare. What about this situation and health care does not say health care for all? Tell me. And anyone who uses terminology and language right now to get votes by saying we're going to take care of health care by extending what we know already works, well, why do you think that, and believe me, it's not just a few Democrats that are real progressives. Or let me put it this way. Have you seen the new movie on Netflix about the Chicago 7? Remember those guys?
Yeah,
oh,
years ago.
Do,
yep.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Do I have to pull Tom Hayden and Abby Hoffman up on the table here and dissect them and what they had to say and what they were trying to do? No, this is the moment for, you know, they came and they rang a bell. They rang a big bell. And what did it do to our country? Ron knows, he's a historian. Take a look at the changes that Nixon, his rat fucking, and everything that happened in a 10-year period, including losing so many good people. Bob.
Yes.
Martin Luther
You're right.
King, Medgar Evers. We don't have time for that now. We don't have time for it. We don't have time for Archie Bunker and Maude to star on TV for us. We are about to lose our asses, and that means there's no future generations.
Right.
That's what the indigenous people have been, the Hopi have been trying to tell us this since the 40s. I know, I have teachers You know,
right.
We know. And by the way, you know, the elders of many communities have gone into seclusion, into Saipapu, into absolute underground to take the culture with them. Of course, they still got their cell phones, but it's true. And this is a moment in time. Ron, we are living in what I have heard called a holy time. We are in a holy time. You ask Franny over there in Rome, he'll tell you. He thinks so too, even with all those red hats trying to, you know, machine operate him. It's these old machines, these old institutions, patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not about a man or a woman. Patriarchy is a way of systematic hierarchy of rulership. And it's brought us to this point. along with all the good stuff. All the good stuff too. If it weren't for plastic and the use of petroleum, look what would happen to our hospitals. You know what I'm saying? There's
no, that's a good point.
Reasons for everything. But right now, we're sitting at the edge of destruction. Take a look at our oceans. And what happened when COVID had us locked down and industry had to put a halt for how long was it? About 3 weeks? Do you know what kind of healing took place in the ozone? Do you know how freaking canals in Venice cleared out?
Yes.
That was a miracle, almost the way it happened. It was so impressive.
Yeah, it's damn impressive what happens when you have to shut the damn machine down. Damn impressive. And I'm using the collective term, machine. And basically, America right now, as far as this plague goes, is the lamplight, you know, and everything else. When Black Lives Matter began to take to the streets, it traveled across the globe in every major city, in every country. Thousands and thousands of people in the streets. Enough racism. This is a holy time. It is, gentlemen. You can call me an old cosmic Pollyanna if you want. I don't give a damn. I've been called Glinda the Good before. But I will say this. If it doesn't change, and I wish no harm. I don't even wish a harm on people I detest the most, like Trump. I don't wish him physical harm. I wish him in prison. Yeah.
I want justice on him, right?
I want justice, absolutely. But I do not wish harm on life. No. However, I do, you know what, guys? If I were a freshman right now, I once followed Bella Abzug down the street in front of the South African embassy. I think if I were a freshman, we all got canned for that too, Ron. That's the first time I got billy clubbed. But I will tell you this, if I were a freshman right now, I'd be dressing in black and selling Molotov cocktails. I would.
Yeah.
I really would.
Bella Abzug was priceless, wasn't she? Absolutely priceless.
Oh, she was a wonderful woman. I did not agree with her Zionism, but I agreed with her politically and value-wise. I thought she was – I was at a talk she was giving, and the hall had maybe 75, a little more people in there, and she was speaking about apartheid and – on it, and somebody from the back, like Contrapol or whatever, said, oh, yeah, well, where put your money where your mouth. You know what Bella did? She grabbed her hat, and she said, who's coming with me? And we started out of that place. There were probably 30-something of us marching with her. By the time we got six blocks, I think it was, down to the South African embassy, out in front of it, there were hundreds. And Bella,
right.
And we were screaming about apartheid and I never thought I'd see him get out of prison. Who was the president?
Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela. We were Mandela. We were you know, screaming for justice and everything. And the New York mounted cops, they always sent the mounted cops into us to break us up, the horses. And I got clubbed, and we all got put in the pokey. And
let me share my little story about South Africa. I was a regional sales manager here in the States, and the company was CBI, Circuit Breaker Industries, and they were out of South Africa. Well, when I first came on board, they had some of the upper management come to visit the United States office, and they brought the head of human resources to kind of get introduced to me, to check me out, and his name was Bunga. And he and I went down to Florida, and I was down there training the rep firm down there, and then we went out to dinner and stuff. And while we were having dinner, and Bunga was Black African, he grew up in the apartheid era, and then the changing of the guard when Nelson Mandela became president and things like that. It was still hard, right? But he and I are, me, a white man, him, a black man, and we're sharing a meal together. And I had the chance to tell him, I said, Nelson Mandela is as much of a hero in this country as our Martin Luther King.
Absolutely.
He kind of looked at me like he was a little shocked with that statement. He liked it. He got it, right? But he wasn't expecting this, 50-year-old, late 40-year-old white man to be making this statement to him. And we didn't take it any farther. I just wanted to let him know that, from my viewpoint, of everything, and that I did tell him, I said, and everything that he went through, and it became president, but his first mandate was there will be no repercussions, there will be no going back after those who treated us badly. And I told him, I said, and after all those years in prison, I said,
Africana.
He was definitely a much better man than I was, because I don't think I could have done that.
No, that's a corporate soul. Nelson Mandela was part of a greater
community. Well, very much like Martin Luther King, peaceful protest.
Yes, and most of the heroes of the 60s, I still, there's another fabulous movie that's on the... I believe you can see it for free over on Prime Video. It's called The Glorious, about Gloria Steinem's road trip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gloria Steinem, I have a great deal of respect for and look up to a great deal.
Yes.
I mean, she's made her faux pas like everybody else, but she represents what. I put her right up there with RBG, step
mm-hmm.
by step, and that's what we should be thinking right now. And I'm sure Ron agrees, it's step by step that we make these changes in government, and
yes.
that we address these inequalities and injustices. But how much time do we have? And if you have a Senate and a Congress and a White House, you can't squander it. You simply squander it with an old broken machine. You really can't.
They're going to have to be like FDR, and as soon as they walk in with that,
I agree.
The House, the Senate, and the White House, you enact your policies. You get them in. You get them started. And with Robert Clinton's, what's left in those two branches of office, want to stand up and holler and squirm and, piss and moan, screw them. Put it in.
Absolutely. The second New Deal is what it has to be.
Exactly what it takes. Exactly.
And that New Deal has to be primarily in green industry for this country, and to show, because other countries are burgeoning with it. They're trying to get
mm-hmm.
it done. But if the United States of America takes it up, look what China's doing. They are all about green. They are all about green. Just simply, and it's a change in lifestyle, a healthier change for Americans. And our generations coming up will learn and grow through all of this. We are the cutting edge of the destruction right now. We really are. We are either going to fall or we are going to stand upright. And I got to tell you guys, I think the only thing that is going to stand upright and get the job done is the primary leadership of women, because women are mothers, they are healers, and they are smart. They know
how. They're the majority.
They are.
Yes, women are going to win the election for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I wanted to mention about Kamala Harris.
I'll talk more of it in the future.
Yeah, you may have heard that Republican Senator David Perdue, who's running for election and already has done something anti-Semitic by showing a photograph of his opponent, who's Jewish, John Ossoff, and having a larger nose. Imagine that.
Right.
And then he also, at a rally in which Trump was there, I think he was coming before him, he talked about Kamala Harris, called her Kamala, la, la, la. Everybody laughed.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a racist and an anti-Semite, Senator David Perdue. Hopefully he can be defeated by John Ossoff, I hope. But the point is, Harris, already by Trump, he called her a monster after the debate with Pence. He also said she was a communist. And, of course, but the point is, there are people out there that are going to say, a communist, McCarthyism, we got to go and kill her. I would think her Secret Service detail now and later when she's vice president is going to have to be much more larger, because I'm sure there's many more death threats now after what he has done, our president, and
senator. Well, here's the thing. They're saying these things. The more outrageous they get, that's the more frightened they are. Okay,
let's
see that right away. I think Kamala Harris probably laughed. And she's half the woman I think she is, she laughed. That was her first response.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gwen. Yeah,
second response was, well, how do we address this, be a lady? I will just say be a lady. She would probably say be politically, stringent, and
like Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. Michelle Obama.
There is a reason for that. Now, when we're in the battlefield like we are right now in Washington D.C., I mean, if I were Lois Frankel up there representing my district,
she's a congresswoman.
I'd be mean and angry, and frankly, I think Frankel is not up to the job as she could be, but I have seen her do some good things, but only because she was crowded in with the rest of the Democrats. She is not what I would call, she's no Bella Abzug, is she?
Well, no, she's not. Actually, Ted Deutsch, in the next district, was my former congressman. They changed the lines, and I like Ted Deutsch a lot more when I met him. Mm-hmm. I think he's I like him better. But look, her opponent is Laura Loomer, 27, who's a real wacko and a real, QAnon and people like that. So there's no choice. It's necessary Lois Frankel win her seat.
Well, and what is the real shame there? That a decent, and this is why I say the DNC is a very broken machine. There were candidates that could have been slid in there who were good females, a lot of females, but men too, who were really are good leaders. And because Frankel has her, credibility and her seniority with being a political swayer in the Palm Beach County District for so long, She got the nomination where she should have been. She should have been primaried. She should have been, it's like, I hope to heck Pam Keith is elected over Brian Mast up here.
I hope so. He's horrible.
Well, and Pam Keith is good. She's a fabulous leader, the kind of woman leader we need right now. And I keep saying woman, and I mean it quite credibly. I'm not saying not men. I'm just saying women know what they're doing. They know which way to turn right now. It is mother who knows put the children to bed. It is mother who knows when to feed the family. It is mother who takes care of the bills when dad can't be bothered or is too stressed or worried. It is, we have been lousy fathered for too long. the war, the resource gathering, the racism, everything is on the plate right now, guys. And it's not to say that women didn't do it too. That's not what I mean. I'm not saying we need to be completely matrilineal. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that right now, to make the changes on this planet, to heal this planet and the people on it, we need mothering. We do. And if you take a look at the countries that are breaking through, that are holding fast and getting somewhere, it's they're led by women.
Yep,
right in the heart of Europe. Right in the heart of Europe, you got a scientist sitting in the catbird seat who rolls her eyes at Trump every time he walks by. And Germany has, who better? She's the leader of the free world right now.
Exactly. Right now she is. Absolutely.
I mean, and Britain, they're still, even though Boris is leaving the prime ministership, they've still got a bunch of jerks in there. You know,
absolutely.
They have,
well, they've got their tea party just like we have, the QAnons, you know, the, you know, we're going to take our country back kind of mentality. There's that ignorance that we have to deal with in this country. Britain is dealing with it too, henceforth Boris Johnson.
And on ground level, there are a lot of brothers and sisters out there who we keep forgetting are quite capable of doing the organizing for us, and that's unions.
The unions have got to come back. We have to re-strengthen the unions. I have seen in my lifetime, as we all have, with this panel, ever since Reagan broke the back of the union of the air traffic controllers.
Yeah.
In 1981,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, 1981, we have seen the standard of the working middle class, the wages, the benefits, the retirement plans, everything, notching down a little bit at a time. It's like the adage of the old frog in the pot. You keep turning up the heat, he's in the water, he doesn't notice, pretty soon he's been cooked and dead, and he's never realized it, that the water was rising on him.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, because you live in Maryland, what do you think about your governor, who I thought was fairly decent, voting for Reagan? Of course, he's a Republican. Votes for a dead person?
I was never so disappointed with him. I thought before, I didn't vote for him. I've been voting straight Democrat, screw them all.
Yeah, as I would,
because I've been, as you know, I have been very involved with the Republican Party.
Yes.
You know, you can check my blog, right? And I talk about how I had an hour-long one-on-one with Jack Kemp.
Yeah.
And he didn't like to hear what I had to say, but I was telling him everything I told him. We are seeing coming through today. Go ahead, Gwen. Now, I was very disappointed with Hogan riding in Ronald Reagan.
At least vote for a live person, not a dead one.
Well, yeah, that was bullshit, right? You know, that was just posturing. And when he went into that little posturing mode to placate the Republican Party that he's part of, then that's like, I'm not going to vote for him.
There's rumors that he's thinking of running as a moderate alternative for 2024. I guess compared to others, he is a so-called moderate, but I don't think this helps, you know.
I won't vote for him.
Gentlemen, we have come to the end of the hour. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes to go here.
Oh, my.
Ron?
Actually, seven. I have seven down here.
Yeah, we always get cut off.
Three.
I wanted to say to you, is there anything you want to put out there that you thought was, you know, important to remember this week going forward?
Well, I would just say we can't take the idea that Biden's far ahead, therefore the election is settled. We have to be out there, and we have to keep on promoting and campaigning and making sure people go and vote, because no election is won on theory. You have to actually go and vote. So although it looks like he's going to win massively, and I really am predicting that, I still say you can't be too cocky and arrogant to think the election's over. It's certainly not with a person like Donald Trump as your opponent, but I cannot even imagine the thought if he won. I don't know if I could survive it mentally if Trump did. You know, I just can't imagine it. So it's important everybody be active and get out there and get others to vote and not take anything for granted.
Wayne, I would ask you, do you think they will have a winner on November 3rd evening?
I will say yes, because the write-in ballots are one thing, but the real bulk right now is the scene that's trending is people are going in and voting early. I myself, October the 26th here in Maryland, will be the first day that early voting opens up. I will be there voting on the 26th. So they will already have these votes counted as this goes on.
Gotcha.
I'm not, you know, and my only concern is, again, there's a lot of states that are controlled red. We know about the machines. Some of them have been rigged to flip the votes. That's why it's got to be so much of a majority of voting blue all the way through for this to happen. If not,
it's got,
we're gonna get...
it's got to be like 18. It's got to be a blue tsunami. Yeah.
I think
exactly.
It will be.
Exactly.
And even Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse, who's a Republican, said he thinks a blue tsunami is coming for the Senate. And I think it is coming also.
Right.
I have my own projections we could talk about maybe in 2 weeks. But again,
right.
It doesn't mean you don't vote or you just say, oh, it's over. It's not over until it's over.
Get out.
There's one thing I will say before we go off the air. And I said it on Facebook this month or this week. Right now, with everything that's going on, and especially in the hootenanny Republican state of Florida, where counties around me, and I'm afraid ours is going to do the same, is dropping the mask mandate. COVID is very real, and it's very deadly, and it's getting worse.
Exactly.
And
it's getting worse.
I would say to people, do not be complacent. Do not fall off from washing your hands or protecting your – keep your masks on. Little spot here for daughtersofisis.com. You can find some thieves oil, little bottles of it to spray your mask with, which is a preventative of COVID. If it hits your mask, it's going to die there. If it gets into your respiratory or pulmonary system, you've got it. And while you may get over COVID, recovery from COVID could be lifelong for you. And
exactly.
With horrible health conditions. So please, people, remember, what about the word plague don't you get? So don't be complacent. Don't be complacent, folks. Keep your masks on. Be careful. Even though people in the grocery stores are getting weird again and stuff, you keep standing by the rule, and keep hunkered down if you can. And next week, we'll be back at 6 p.m. For Here Be Monsters Radio for the Sunday show with, the producer talking way too much, cursing incredibly so, and calling everybody an SOB. I am sorry about my profanity. I do get angry, guys.
I think it's wonderful.
I'm going to say.
And by the way, it's still 6:57. You still got a couple of minutes.
It isn't very. My mother taught me and educated me to be a lady.
I'm sorry. I was a sailor. Well, you got something to say.
Yeah,
say
he's been a sailor. I was not a sailor. I never talked that way. Now I'm always cursing at the TV when I see Trump on and using all kinds of language. And I'm saying, what's happened to me? I've gotten corrupted in my old age.
I keep telling the professor. It's my fault, Professor. I corrupted you. It's all on me.
I was raised to be a lady, and generally I am, but this lady is a tramp. So so there.
I wouldn't
there
agree with
have.
That, but it sounds funny.
Wait a minute. It's a wonderful song, and if you listen to the song, you'll get what I mean. Jeez, you guys never go to the theater anyways, and that's a plug for Michael Cooper. So please come back 6 p.m. Next Sunday, the Sunday show with Wayne Johnson, Ronald Feynman, and a mousy producer. And thank you for listening. Please don't
good
get complacent.
Stay healthy and safe. That's the most important thing.
Yeah,
that's
stay
right.
safe. Stay safe. Bye-bye. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.